Q1 of 2024 started off very strong, but now things have taken a little bit of a turn.
Contracts rose for the first 6 weeks of the year, but then started to decline with rising interest rates.
So what does all this mean, whether you're a buyer, seller, or just somebody who wants to keep their finger on the pulse of Manhattan real estate?
Let's discuss. Welcome back to the Real Talk NYC Real Estate Podcast with John and Jonathan.
So today we're going to talk about the quarterly statistics, Q1 of 2024. The overarching theme of what we saw in this market report from Corcoran is that our activity, our contracts signed, et cetera, have sort of moved in line with the trend that interest rates have had.
In the beginning of the year, we saw interest rates start to moderate. They were leveling off in the mid sixes. So that's why the contract signs increased over the first 6 weeks. And then we saw an increase in interest rates, which actually created the pullback in the marketplace in the end of March.
So that's like the first, it was split into two of these quarters. So we have that first half of the quarter showing, signs of really good things to come in our spring season, which typically starts in February, March at the earliest. And us feeling very strong. And then the pullback as the interest rates trended upwards. And then we got, of course, a few weeks ago, we got the inflation numbers, which did not help, et cetera. And it's interesting because people talking to them about Manhattan real estate, people feel, generally speaking, our entry level pricing is so high that people tend to draw a straight line, a conclusion that our market isn't necessarily dictated by the prevailing interest rates.
Could be further from the truth.
And we always talk about that with on our podcast and to people when they bring it up and such. And it's interesting to see how much it correlates over the last couple of years, frankly, but more specifically in the last quarter.
You know, if we look at the contract signs in the first quarter, even though that they improved dramatically over the last quarter of 2023, it was 18% quarter over quarter, we're still lagging year over year down 6% in those contract signs. There's direct correlation between the increase in the interest rates and the contract signs.
Yeah, I mean, part of it I would say is that the interest rates are sort of just reaffirming the news cycle. Right? Like at the end of last year, we had, the Fed saying they're going to, things are going to level out. And then they're the last half of the year, they're going to decrease interest rates. And everybody started, at the end of the day, we're human. There is a mob mentality.
Definitely.
People, you know, they get their bits of news from that helps sort of form their overall opinion of where we're going.
They're
listening
to
us.
Jeez.
We were very optimistic, January, February numbers even.
Marrying the home.
Exactly.
You know, and then what happened?
What we've seen that last 6 weeks, contracts signed in total just slowed down. And what's interesting, if you dig a little bit deeper and you look at the mix of the units, the most affected categories were under a million. Studios and one bedrooms under a million, which we've talked about many times is that's the market that is more affected by an interest rate hike. As much as people feel like, okay, I can always, like you said, date the rate, buy the home, we're coming into a presidential election. Mm-hmm. We have court cases going on. We've got all this stuff. It's like it's already starting. It's going to be through the rest of this year. In my opinion, I don't know if we're going to get that big spring bump that we were hoping for because inventory has still lagged a bit. We'll see what happens in April.
I mean, our inventory numbers are only up 2%. What we're finding in this current market is that homes which are very well priced and that are just coming onto the market, into the marketplace, are going very quickly. In some instances, depending on where they are in the market, in Manhattan or in Brooklyn, there we're even seeing bidding wars, whereas some of the older inventory, which has things that we've talked about before, whether it's overpriced or especially the homes that need renovation, they're lagging in the marketplace. So where we had this idea that the Fed was going to be reducing the Fed funds rate, helping us, bringing the market down. Now that we had the high inflation numbers, it kind of jammed us up a bit. We have definitely seen buyers coming in, but then we have the challenge, as I just said, with like over 6,200 units on the market, we have the low inventory issue.
Yeah.
So what we're finding is that at least, yeah, I'm finding is that the buyers who I'm working with, they've seen the inventory, they've either gotten bid out of stuff or it's just not quite right for them, and they're waiting for new apartments to hit the market. And I'm not so sure now that we're, what, third week of April here, if we're going to see that bump like you talked about.
And it's reflected in days on market, which went down 10% year over year. The new stuff that's selling is the apartments that come on the market, they're renovated, so most people are not viewing them as a project, and they're priced competitively.
Right.
And then you'll get multiple bids on things. So it's very odd because you get the other apartments just sitting there and it's crickets on some of them. And going back to the contract signed, this 11-year statistic of how many contracts typically get signed in the first quarter of the year, we're still 15% off of that number.
Right. Right.
So we're down from last year, and we're down 15% off of just a normal, quote unquote, normal year.
Right, right. So. I think also that if we look at the luxury market in Manhattan for the first quarter of 2024, that has fared somewhat better in the 3 to 5 million category, which would indicate, like we talked about, the luxury market as not being, it kind of being a little bit more insulated from the lower end of the market that's directly affected by the interest rate increases. And then the other thing I want to just say is that there are a lot of people wanting to buy bigger apartments. We've always had that where the families, you know, the people in need of bigger apartments, that in my opinion, depending on where those big apartments are and how renovated they are continuing to see the most, like, the demand, I would say, the demand on the especially the finished apartments. I would say the finished apartments across the board see the better attention than,
absolutely.
Than the diamond in the rough, you know?
Yeah, as we've said many times, people look for any reason not to buy in a high interest rate environment. That being said, this is not a high interest rate environment. It's only a high interest rate environment if you base it off of the last 20 years, which was ridiculously low interest rate environment.
It's correct.
So,
correct.
And also when you say those bigger apartments fared better, they fared better relative to where we were last year. They're similar, small percentage changes.
That's right.
So, and last year was also a very down year. We're still well below where we would normally see, or that 11-year average.
I think that
on all accounts.
I think too that when we talk about the inventory numbers, it's very important for the people listening is that if you're a buyer in this marketplace, you're coming into the market and there's just not a normal amount of inventory on the market. So we usually say between like 7,000 and 9,000 units on the market would be considered more normal. Depending on where you are in the marketplace, you could still have this idea that like, oh, I hear that the market's not that great, that my, you know, that it's a more of a buyer's market. I would say it's definitely an in-between market, would you say? Or would you still say it is a buyer's market?
I definitely say, generally speaking, it's definitely a buyer's market. But then you have that apartment that comes on that's a well laid out, two bed, two bath on a high floor with nice, maybe not views of anything in specific, but good light and air, which everybody always want, and fully renovated. And it sells very, very quickly at a very competitive price.
Correct. Or a big apartment in Brooklyn. I mean, I'm speaking from experience that has seen 5-6 offers. Or an apartment down by NYU that is priced really well, and people that scoop those apartments up.
Yeah, the two most recent bidding wars that we had,
To your point initially is that we are definitely finding that there is a mentality in our marketplace that if you're in an apartment that you're paying 2-3% in your interest rate, you know, you got to have a really concrete reason for wanting to sell that apartment and moving out into either the burbs or, you know, buying another apartment that you can afford at a much higher interest rate. So, you know, your housing costs are just going to be, you know, much more than what you're paying.
Yeah,
so
it's all situational. Yeah, which is why the inventories remained low, which is why, you know, the apartments that are, we talked about the other day, we still feel like there's this big lump of unrenovated estate sales and just inventory that's has some sort of
staleness
like,
to it.
Yeah,
yes.
Like stuck like I've seen in the throat before. Of our market.
That's
right
correct.
Now,
you know,
it's a hairball. You gotta cough that puppy up.
I just, you know, it's my plug for buying the ugly duckling. You know, you have an apartment which needs work in a great building in a great location. If you have the patience to be able to undergo the renovation, you not only get the apartment which you want, you get it at a discount. You can govern how significant of a renovation you're doing on the apartment. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's inherent built-in value to that. Long-term, yeah, I'm not saying that everybody's up for a renovation, but there is the argument to be had that says buy the fixer-upper.
Yeah. Yeah.
As long as you have a good time frame.
Yeah. We just have a lot of things. We're swimming upstream a little bit on a lot of things because you have construction costs that are—
Material costs are high.
You know, there's all these different factors that just seem to be working against us a bit right now. And then we have the upcoming presidential election, which is always a pullback in our market. Right. So the silver lining, I would say, is we typically see a bump after a presidential election year. The hopes are is that next year— will make up for it to some degree. It doesn't mean you can't transact in this market. You just got to, as we always tell our clients, you have to be aware, eyes open. You have to know what the factors are. And if you want to sell, well, then you got to go to the market.
As well as if you want to buy.
My
feeling is that, you know, there's another silver lining here. We live in a very significant and a very unusual marketplace in New York City because this is a market which needs to be navigated. And when I say that, if you're a buyer in this marketplace, you better be really buttoned up with your financials, with having all your tax work, with having, you know, being knowledge on the marketplace and having a well-equipped broker to be able to guide you through what can be a really challenging market. On the list side of the things, the exact same thing. If you're listing your home in this market and it is not a home that is like a triple mint apartment in a coveted location, you know, even if it is, I think you need a really qualified real estate agent to be able to represent you in the selling of the
business. That's a good plug.
Getting to the market in this kind of market, meaning when I say, especially when you have to counsel the sellers to bring the prices down, can be very challenging because, you know, it's hard to find the floor of where the market's going to respond to the listing. So another plug. That's why we're here, right?
At the end of the day,
give us a call.
The price is set by the buyer. And if you don't have the buyers, you got to keep going. You got to keep, you know.
Yep. So, yeah. The buyer creates the value. It creates the market price there.
Yep. And there's good opportunities. And being educated by an agent that's helping you purchase a place does not necessarily mean, it's not a fire sale everywhere. You
not
know,
at all.
If it's a good apartment, you may have to pay for that apartment.
That's correct.
But that's a testament to the type of investment that you're making, what you're investing your money in. That's a blue chip stock. If it is, you know, like I said earlier, you're firing on all cylinders. You've got a great location. You're in a good building. You've got light and air. You've got a nice layout. And those apartments can still trade at what they've been trading at. It doesn't mean that everything is 10% off or 20% off.
Right.
So the buyers need to work with somebody that can educate them on that and show them why that is the case.
Exactly.
Because it's like anything else, blue chip stock.
And last thing that I'll say about that is also if you're buying, sometimes I find that buyers can want to overanalyze the real estate. If you really want the apartment, grab it in New York City. You may have to pay a bit more to get the apartment that you really, really want. But to stand your ground at a much lower price and dig your heels in trying to get the last dollar on this sale may cost you the apartment. And I say, grab the real estate, especially if you're holding the real estate for 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
You know, I think the years of enjoyment, having the apartment as your home will trump paying $10,000, $15,000, even $30,000, $40,000 more.
There's the intangible of what is it worth to you to own the home that you live in?
Exactly.
And that's a very personal choice. You know,
some people could care less. I can't answer that. You can't either.
Yeah. Some people would be like, no, I'd rather rent because blah, blah, blah. And I would only buy if it's going to be, you know, make me wealthy,
Right. Yeah,
well, that's not the purpose of real estate, really. At the end of the day, when you look historically how much you appreciate on an annual basis, you're not getting wealthy off of buying your primary residence. Can it be a good and solid investment? Absolutely. It's
about
capital
preservation. Can it be a phenomenal investment in Manhattan? Yes, it can. But it's not, you know, it's not going to be that for everybody.
Well, last but not least, we always talk about the days on market. We mentioned it earlier that it's actually come down 10% year over year.
Why is that?
Well, we account that to the newer inventory that has come on the market that has traded quickly. There's been a healthy amount of that has brought that days on market because that's locked in once it goes to contract. Then that days on market from the day it's listed to the day it goes to contract gets locked in and added to the statistic. What we saw in Like we talked about the two instances just a couple of weeks ago or over the last couple of weeks where we had two bidding wars. Mm-hmm. It's because buyers are out there looking hungry for that inventory. So when something good comes on the market, they're getting into bidding situations and they're selling fairly quickly. Right. So that's why we've seen the days on market, whereas the market is still rejecting many of the apartments that are that clump of inventory stuck in the throat of the industry, which are the ones that need a lot of work, that
high maintenances,
whatever, that low floors, back apartments, whatever. But there's so many factors that go into that days on market that it's not the most indicative of where we're at, and nor is it something that somebody should be like, oh, this is a good time to sell or this is a good time to buy or whatever.
Right.
It's simply to relative to past seasons, what's it doing? And there's always reasons behind it.
Yeah, how quickly the market's moving. So if you're a buyer in this marketplace, what I would say to guide you is to be extremely prepared. Know your money, have your balance sheet created, your financial statement, have your tax work for the last 2 years ready to go, have a bio created, or start to think about creating a letter of introduction for yourselves. Be prepared.
What's the number one thing that they should do?
They should work with a very qualified real estate agent. I didn't want to be too aggressive. Okay. All right. So, but the better prepared you are in working with a qualified real estate agent who can help you to navigate the market, not only to learn the inventory, but then to be able to guide you through the process is extremely important in this marketplace. Both buyers and sellers can be scared in this market. They can become hostile. Situations can arise that are really problematic for either buyer or seller or for both. And they're always going to want to make it the agent's issue. And so an agent that can be flexible and can maneuver around difficult circumstances, I am speaking from experience, are much further ahead than agents who throw their hands up and can't deal with the challenge. There's a lot of challenges in this market, but there are buyers out there. There are apartments to be had. There are good deals in this marketplace. And so I think that's my plug for the buyers.
I would say on the seller side, it's you have to prep your apartment. Work with an agent that's going to help guide you through it. Staging is very important. Pricing is equally important, if not more important. Mm-hmm. Video content is very important. But the number one is being realistic about your pricing.
Exactly.
And realistic about your motivations to sell. You know, if you're just, oh, I just want to test the market. Well, okay. You're going to be disappointed more than likely.
Absolutely.
Because I'm sure your expectations then are going to be higher than what they should be. If you have to sell or you're very motivated to sell for whatever that reason may be, take the guidance of your real estate agent that you know has experience. And people, do your research. See what kind of pictures they take and marketing they do, et cetera.
Right,
and it's not
testimonies.
Always done. Testimonies. But number one, and this would go for buyers as well, is being realistic on where the market is right now.
Right.
And the only place you can get that is two places. One, doing your own research with your agent in tow, because walking through spaces with your agent is very important, because you may see things one way, whereas the agent should be able to point out, well, this is what, you know, because not everybody has the same taste, but we always have to deal in the world of what's the general consensus, where's the mass market appeal, et cetera. Knowing the inventory and then relying on a real estate agent that can give you, you know, background information and historical data, et cetera.
I think the only thing I would add, it's excellent what you just said, is take your broker's counsel if the apartment has been on the market for 50, 60 days with no offers, but you have plenty of showings and you have market data to show this is not where the market is, and it might be wise to take a price reduction.
Yeah, and being aggressive can definitely be a big help these days.
Definitely.
So of course, it's situational. It's apartment to apartment, so we can't say be aggressive in any apartment. Well, if the apartment's going to have a minor appeal anyways, it may also need more time on the market. But the number one devaluing factor on an apartment is days on market.
Yeah.
You know, as much as we hate that term, the days on market statistic as we talk about it, but and how that the number itself doesn't really dictate what you should do or what kind of a market it is to any significant degree, the longer you're on the market, the less your apartment's worth.
Correct.
That's just the nuts
and bolts. I think that if I were listening to this podcast, I would just call John and Jonathan.
If they made it this far.
All right. Well, listen, great to see you as always.
Likewise.
Look forward to our next podcast. And so thank you all very much for watching. It's been a pleasure. And remember, always remember, be healthy, be safe, and most of all,
remain in gratitude. We will see you next time.
Thanks for watching or listening to the Real Talk NYC Real Estate Podcast. If you want to find us online or sign up to get our monthly and quarterly market stats, come on over to our website, GostaskaConlinTeam.com, or you can find us on all social media with the handle at GostaskaConlinTeam. If this show was helpful, entertaining, or informative, consider telling friends and family or leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts. Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss our next episode, and we'll see you next time.